Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
What sort of diet do you advocate for?
We call it a low carbohydrate, well-formulated ketogenic diet. It's under 20 total grams of carbs per day. It's what I teach. By the time we were born, the food supply was all messed up. People lose their minds and say, I can't believe you promoted a carnivore diet. I'm like, well, but actually the science around what I teach, which is really close, is solid. But if you say keto or carnivore, oh boy, you know, they'll go off their rocker.
My only problem that I had with keto was I couldn't maintain it.
It's almost like there's a fire embers in here of addiction, and that you have just a little bit of sugar and you're back addicted.
Are we meant to be in ketosis? Or is there a proper human diet?
Yeah, you know, that's a...
Thank you so much for watching. We're going to get into a conversation about keto versus carnivore, the pros and cons, and what are his thoughts on the carnivore diet. You're not going to want to miss this episode. Be sure to hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell notification. And if you enjoyed this video, please leave a comment, thumbs up, and share with a friend.
Dr. Westby, can we talk a little bit about what sort of diet do you advocate for?
So when I was faced with these two patients 27 years ago now, they did what was called Atkins induction. Atkins was a doctor who had a voracious appetite, read in the medical literature that a low-carb diet would cut out the appetite. He did a shrimp diet on himself first, and then wrote a article in the journal Vogue, which got picked up. You know, you need to do such massive popularity about a low carb diet in the journal. He started writing books about it and had a career of treating people in New York City. And because these two patients read the Atkins book, I basically just wrote Dr. Atkins a letter and said, what's going on? He was still actively in practice in 1998. I visited Dr. Atkins, Dr. Eads, Dr. Rosedale, these other doctors who were doing this, because once I met him and his practice, I started to realize that there was a failure of belief. So that when you go there, you see all this working, but then you step out the door and everyone says, no, it can't work. You know, it's got to kill you and all this. So I realized I had to start doing the research on my own. But I started with the same formula that Dr. Atkins used in New York City about 1998. And because that's the door I came into, if you will, the weight loss door and healthy eating door. And so I was heavily influenced by their method, which today even corrects a lot of mistakes from internet keto. But they learned that they had to limit the cheese, for example, that it's very easy for people to overconsume cheese. So over the years, we published papers. We have looked at different diseases like obesity, diabetes, polycystic ovary syndrome gets better, heartburn gets better, irritable bowel syndrome gets better. That we published proof of concept papers through all this. And it turns out that this brand, if you will, or approach is unique. and that everyone else is trying to replicate or get something and come up with their own method. And yet this corrects so many of those things that happen. So I still teach, we call it a low carbohydrate, well formulated ketogenic diet. It's under 20 total grams of carbs per day, meaning you could have 2 cups of leafy greens, 1 cup of a non-starchy veggie, but that's the upper limit for the day. We don't restrict sugar, alcohols, or sweeteners. We use those to get people off sugar. And then I teach a version of it, which is flexible enough that even someone in Durham, North Carolina, where I live, who pretty much always goes to McDonald's, can do it. They just don't eat the bread. They don't eat the fries. And no sugar in the drinks. So the flexibility that this kind of teaching gives kind of transcends corrects a lot of the problems I see today. Oh, it's too expensive. I can't get grass-fed beef. I can't go to the farmer's market. Oh my God, what will I do? I guess I should eat carbs. No. So the naming of these things to me is less important as kind of looking at what people are eating and what the results are. So when people started coming in, not eating vegetables, not eating the greens, and basically in our plan, it's eating eggs and meat and chicken and fish to satiety or to fullness. They were doing great. I mean, so I learned pretty quickly that you didn't have to have vegetables. And so I found through the years that I wasn't enforcing that, you know, oh, you need to have your cup of vegetables, or, you know, you're not having, you know, if someone came in and said, I'm not perfect, I said, well, why not? I'm not eating my greens. I don't like them. I said, well, that's fine. So I kind of learned, well, you know, over 20 years that people can thrive and be well without having to consume those things. But the teaching, because I'm at an academic center and I do think there are probably people looking over my shoulder to make sure I'm not hurting anyone. Well, that's an easy one. But then also that I'm within certain guideline parameters, and yeah, we violate some guidelines in that way, but there's no harm being done. If I say that you need to have some vegetables and greens, then most other dietitians that look in will be reassured. That, you know, but once I start to, you know, talk about carnivore, which, remember, carnivore is really a version, a type of a low carb keto diet. So that it's what I teach without the vegetables, you know, with some nuance. But then suddenly people lose their minds and say, I can't believe you promote a carnivore diet. I'm like, well, but actually the science around what I teach, which is really close, is solid. You know, so that's why the naming of things, in fact, I teach, coach my patients, tell your doctor you're doing a Mediterranean diet, you know, right. A modified Mediterranean. And they go, oh, that's great. Yeah, keep it up. But if you say keto or carnivore, oh boy, you know, they'll go off their rocker. So the teaching I still up front will be the list of foods that has the greens and the vegetables. But if someone comes in, as has happened innumerable times, saying that I eat this vegetable or green and my stomach hurts, I'll say, well, let's listen to this. And maybe you shouldn't eat that. Sometimes people misunderstand. I'm not an early adopter. It took me a long time to come to this, and it's been 20 years of using this for me to speak this way. So when one of my patients I couldn't help ends up in Michelle Hearn's book, The Dietitian's Dilemma, what do I do if I had to do the exact opposite of what I was taught to get better? That's Michelle's book, basically The Dietitian's Dilemma. One of my former patients ends up in the book telling her story of being on the anorexia nervosa ward at a nearby university hospital, the psychiatric ward, telling them that my stomach hurts. And she didn't need medicine for her brain. She needed something because whenever she ate, it hurt her stomach. So in this book, her own book now, she tells the story that she had to figure out on her own that it was vegetables that were making her stomach hurt, that basically gave her the outward appearance of being a skeleton and anorexia and clinically hospitalized for this. She was so sick that by following a carnivore diet, which means just dropping those vegetables that hurt her, everything corrected. And I've seen this now over and over where the gluten enteropathy or celiac disease is actually quite common. And it's from wheat and grains and you can't really diagnose it perfectly. That's the other thing. The medical world will try to diagnose, and then if it's not on the blood test or if they try to look in the GI system and they can't find it, they say, oh, don't worry about it. Well, nobody has to have gluten. I mean, it's not an essential nutrient. So by doing a carnivore diet, meaning she just got rid of all of those things. So carnivore to me is an elimination diet of all these things that could possibly be a problem. She fixed this anemia that doctors couldn't fix. She had it for 7 years. She even needed IV iron treatment to get iron into her system. And if someone could have looked far enough into her intestine, they would have noticed that she had no intestinal villi to absorb the iron. And so within just a couple of weeks of cutting out the gluten, her intestine repairs itself and she's now normal. So to the outward appearance, it's, oh, that's not possible. How could you? It's just, you know, carnivore, it's a fad. And no, it can be a corrective kind of approach that is medically substantial. So these are just some kind of extreme cases, but these cases hit my office and some of them now, some people are now coming to tell me their stories that are similar because I'm sort of passively supportive on my YouTube channel. I mean, I won't tell people it's terrible and all that. You know, you got to monitor things and learn from somebody who's doing it right. But I'm cautiously optimistic. The studies that are being formulated now and being done, other than the surveys that are already done, will show that there aren't all of these major concerns that people have because the metabolism is very similar to what we've been studying for 20, 25 years.
Right. Yeah, I imagine from your perspective, doing this for a long time, and every time you talk about keto still now, people are like, oh, is that dangerous? And you're probably just like, oh my goodness, aren't we past this yet? And then you mention the word carnivore. It's just like, why even bother like going down there? Yeah. The healing that I've seen from carnivore, and like you said, carnivore is just keto. It's just a stricter version of keto, in my opinion. The healing I've seen has been unbelievable. I wouldn't believe some of it if we're doing this documentary, if we weren't looking at people's medical records. We have one woman that was diagnosed with Parkinson's and she could barely walk. And she's in full remission. She's training to hike the St. Francis of Assisi Trail. It's a 500-mile hike. And she's 70 years old. She's got guns. She's like ripped and story after story like that. It's just been incredible. Keto for me, I did the Atkins version, 20 carbs or less, and I had horrible depression and anxiety. I was about 100 pounds overweight. I had IBS, and then these things just started stacking up. But keto was the only thing that ever I did keto, and I was like, whoa, this is working. Something is working a little bit here. My only problem that I had with keto was I couldn't maintain it. Part of the issue for me was, I think, just addiction. And I wanted to talk to you about this a little bit because I feel like when we look around in the world right now, it's just getting worse and worse. Just 70% of people are overweight. I think it's something like 9 out of 10 people have poor metabolic health. It seems like most people are addicted to carbs. And I found that although I had great success on keto for many years, I did it for like 10 years. I kept yo-yoing. I would lose a whole bunch of weight. And then I would be like, now I can go back to moderation and just eat normally. And I'd get a little bit of carbs and I would just, I'd end up binging and I'd gain all that weight back and then some, which by the way, is one of the most frustrating things in the world that I want other people to avoid doing is if you work so hard to lose all that weight and have that success to then gain it all back and then some. And I think it was because when I started carnivore, I realized this is me abstaining from that addiction. While keto was amazing, it was almost like I'm an alcoholic, and on keto, I'm like, I'm going to have a beer on Saturday because I did good all week and I couldn't just have one kind of thing. What are your thoughts on addiction, I guess, in general, as part of the problem for people's poor metabolic health?
Yeah, it's very real. If you're an American or you've grown up in modern food industry driven food, in our lives, you're going to be touched by, to some degree, the sugar addiction. And you have to understand that starches get digested to sugar. And so some people will kind of, no, I'm not a sugar addict, but I can't give up my bread. Well, that's really the same thing. So starches get digested to sugar. So if you're hooked on pasta, rice, fruit, fruit, how can I give up my fruit? I mean, these are all really the same thing. I actually put them in a box together and call it the penalty box, hearkening back to hockey, which down here in North Carolina, some people follow, but these carbs all get digested to sugar, which then hits the brain, and that addictive element is real. First of all, how you learn keto or a keto diet is so varied now. We teach a very simple version of it, and hopefully, we don't allow for net carb products. We don't let people have keto. We don't want people to have keto ice cream, keto bread, keto. These aren't keto. So just to establish that, if someone hasn't learned much about keto yet, I teach a method that uses real food, basically, and you don't want to have those things. I'd rather have you have a burger at McDonald's without the bun than the keto ice cream at the grocery store, because there's just less carbs in the meat. So for some people who don't care about the variety or they're not hooked on, like, I must have Thai food, I have to have Mexican, I have to all, some people now are raised on this, almost getting entertainment from different types of ethnic foods. That can be a problem, and it can get you back, like you say, having just a little bit of carbs here and there. It's almost like there's a fire embers in here of addiction, and that you have just a little bit of sugar, and you're back addicted. Very similar to smoking cessation and smoking addiction, to nicotine and tobacco addiction, similar to other drugs of addiction, where if you kindle and the cravings come back, and you're not in a system or family or medical world to help you get back on track, that yo-yoing is so common. And in a practice like mine, where I've treated now the same people for 10, 15 years, it's hard for them to hike back to my office where they have to, tail between the legs, say, doc, I regained 100 pounds. And it's okay. Actually, we're trained as doctors to be understanding and welcoming and trying something new or the same. I have people now who will just go back to what they did before. The COVID times, hard for a lot of people, got off track, and now that people are feeling a little more in control, I'm kind of reteaching a cohort who got off track during that time. But the carnivore approach not only might be corrective for the vegetable, the nightshades, the tomato, potato, eggplant, and tobacco, these are all similar. They're poisons, and just mild poisons. And some people feel a lot better by dropping those vegetables. Again, carnivore being an elimination type of diet, but it can also be for some people so much easier to follow, enhancing the adherence of something. It's simpler. So when people are faced with our list of foods, people, wow, that's so simple. Well, carnivore is even simpler. But, you know, well, what are you having today? Meat. So if that is appealing to somebody, it makes it even easier. And, you know, over time, someone first listening to this might say, well, that's crazy. How deprived are you going to be? No, some people feel no deprivation. And I have to think that it's because you're getting all the nutrients that you need, plus the improvement in your health. I mean, there's just no trading that with a little bit of variety here and there. Or we were at a event where there was great low carb dinner, and there was an option of something sweet. You know, God only knows what it was made from, and I just don't. It doesn't appeal to me anymore. You know, so it actually can be liberating to do a carnivore diet, because you're not craving foods, you're not tied to your glucose monitor because you don't have diabetes anymore. I've enjoyed your videos as well, where you explain the practical realities of the differences of how it used to be and how it is now. Many patients tell me that it's easier to do a carnivore diet, and they don't feel deprived.
Yeah, I never would have believed it before, but I'm almost 700 days in now, and it's the easiest. It's natural. That's what I tell people. It just feels natural, and then it feels like what I was doing before was so unnatural. Always like, what are we going to eat next? What side dish are we going to have? Where are we going to go? I just don't think about it anymore.
And yet that's all we knew, right? You know, so if you look back, the 30,000 foot view, by the time we were born, the food supply was all messed up.
Yeah.
And even then, the medical world has studied carb eaters as if they're normal.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
You know, right. Or the optimal. And so you have to just have to go back a generation. It's not very far, you know, where when these foods weren't around, what did people have for, you know, grandma and grandpa or their parent? Well, they had bacon and eggs, and you save the bacon grease because it would be wasteful. They didn't have enough food and come out, you know, it wasn't so cheap. So there are a lot of lessons if we just go back one generation. And yet in today's world, we're buffeted by people selling things, and if those things aren't, they're old and they're not valid anymore. I have learned a lot and will teach folks based on their own experience, you know, what happened when you were a child, depending how old they are. Now, most people coming to me in their 20s and 30s grew up having, you know, sugary cereal, and many children now are entering elementary school heavy, and then, you know, let alone high school. And not, you know, I used to say, what was your high school weight as sort of a goal to get back to? And now, you know, if someone's young, like, we can get past their high school weight, because they, by the time they were in high school, they're obese, they're heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this too. My wife and I have triplets plus one. My girls, luckily they're all eating this way now too, which is incredible. But when I look at their peers, it's like you said, I was so sick for so long, and this next generation is eating way worse than even I was eating. It really is eye-opening. My wife and I were getting burger patties at a fast food restaurant the other day. Carnivore, full carnivore, just the patties, no buns, any of that. And this woman came up to us. She worked there. She had her uniform on, and she kind of looked at her food, and she was like, I like how you guys are eating. And of course, I started talking to her, and this woman was, I think she was 81, and she was eating carnivore. And she got rid of her type 2 diabetes, and she's off all her medications, and she's doing wonderful. And you just reminded me of her, Dr. Westman, because she was saying, you know, when I was little, 75 years ago, when I was a kid, we didn't eat the way people are eating now. Like, we had meat and potatoes, and we had bacon and eggs for breakfast, and not all of this stuff. And it really is kind of scary where we've come with our food system. I had a question for you. You had Dr. Anthony Chafee on the other day. It was a great episode on your podcast. We'll leave a link for that in the description too. Yeah. Dr. Chafee, he's got some pretty good arguments on carnivore. One of the things that he's said before is there's millions of species on this planet, and every single species has its intended diet. Like, a cow eats grass, a lion eats gazelles, koala eats eucalyptus, and it's only humans that have this need for all of this crazy variety, and it's only humans that are sick. So his argument being that maybe we were intended to be meat-based carnivores, and we're just overcomplicating it so much. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on, like, Dr. Barry says, proper human diet? We're born into ketosis. Are we meant to be eating in ketosis, I guess I should say? Or is there a proper human diet?
Yeah, you know, that's a testable question, right? So any of these conjectures and can be tested. We can create studies and go forward and follow people at different levels of these things. Looking back at history is, I think, important, but I'm, you know, in a generation of optimism and, you know, saw us humans getting on the moon, which, you know, is unbelievable. And so we may even come up with a better diet than before, which I know kind of throws a thorn in all. Well, I don't know of anything better than carnivore or low carb currently. I mean, so don't get me wrong, but I'm more compelled by the looking at the internal anatomy. Again, I'm an internist, thought through digestion and, you know, how the heart functions and the lungs and kidneys. And it turns out our intestines line up. I mean, you could even just do a matching game for children. You know, the intestines of a human line up with a carnivore. They don't line up with a cow, or they don't line up with a koala or a gorilla. We don't have the same internal intestines. So the single stomach is a feature of carnivores or omnivores. But I'm more compelled by looking at the way we're built than the way, you know, it's said that we grew up hunter-gatherers and all that. And, you know, that I think that's important, but it's hard to prove that. But I can, you know, look at someone's internal anatomy and just say, well, you know, you're really designed with a very low pH in the stomach to be more like a scavenger vulture, you know, to have a stomach that is more like a carnivore. To me, that's compelling. But the true test could be getting 100 people and different diets and just following them for, I don't know, a couple of years to see if there's some difference. You can actually do tests now in the blood and performance tests to see differences pretty quickly, so that you don't have to wait until people die to say, well, that's the best diet. I, you know, one of the debunking things I do on my channel is there are certain people out there who say, you know, our diet is the best, right? The best on earth. Well, prove it. I mean, well, we did a study and compared the vegan diet to a standard American diet, and it was better. Well, but anyone can beat out a standard American diet. So it's like, no, vegan has to be against carnivore or some other diet to be able to say it's better than every diet on earth. And then looking back at what people eat, nutritional epidemiology, which is a study of asking people what they eat and then following them over time, is fraught with correlation, not causation. And even then, the field only developed since everyone was eating carbohydrates. So they can't make determinations about people who don't eat carbs. And so they can't come up with what might even be better because there's no one in their data set or their cohort or, you know, basically the modern Americans who are eating super low carbs. So that's why they come up with a different answer and other people have different agendas. I think looking at the argument for why the human should be a carnivore is one element. It's important, but I think this needs to be turned around into prospective research to really prove it or not prove it. Like there are some vulnerabilities everyone's kind of, you know, scratching their head about, you know, well, where does the vitamin C come from? And we reassure people that you don't need as much and you know, you're actually eating the things that vitamin C helped you make. And we don't see anyone with clinically overt scurvy. I mean, it's a life-threatening problem. I mean, if there were a million people doing a carnivore diet and it happened at a percent rate, then you'd start seeing people in the emergency room with that kind of problem. So if it is a problem, it's probably going to be a really super small one, almost at the level of fear mongering. So, but there are influencers who are out there saying kind of radical things to get attention. And I see now a lot of people coming into the weight loss or healthy eating room through the carnivore diet door. And then they're actually reassured to that they can add in, have some flexibility by doing keto or doing a version that's not just carnivore. At the same time, some people come into this room through the shot weight loss shot door. At least now we can talk about food. If they come in through the other doors into the healthy eating room, at least they're listening now.
Right. Absolutely. I hope there's more studies that happen. I think part of the struggle is there's not a lot of money to be made if people are eating only meat, but I've heard Dr. Baker talk about some studies he's got in the works. So that'd be incredible. In the meantime, I kind of came to this conclusion after carnivore for a while, sort of this first principle that it just seems like it's the most natural thing I can eat, given the 60,000 options in the grocery store, many of which are crazy. And fruit and vegetables, of course, would be next on that list, whole foods. But a lot of those, I think, are compromised now, too, more than people realize with, I don't know, I've talked about this on my channel before, but like an apple now, it's like a big ball of sugar. It used to be like a little crab apple, and there's... Right. Pesticides and glyphosate, and there's all these other things that I think are maybe hurting our guts more than we realize. But it seems like eating, I get a lot of my meat from my neighbor who's a sixth generation farmer, and it's just cows naturally grazing on a field. So it's and they're ruminant animals, so even if they ingest some glyphosate or toxins, it seems like the cleanest thing I can eat. So that's kind of my first principle on carnivore. But well, we're getting towards the end of the hour. I really appreciate your time. My last question, Dr. Westman, was how does it feel for you? You mentioned earlier you're getting some people off of insulin, people coming to you. It's interesting with this space, right? Because someone might come to you with type 2 diabetes or they might come to you because they're overweight. But it seems like when you fix your metabolic health, it fixes so many other things. Brain fog goes away, energy increases. You're probably adding years onto these people's lives. How does it feel for you when you help someone get off their insulin or put them on a path to healing or maybe even save their lives? How does that make you feel?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmans portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Well, you know, in some ways, that's why I became a doctor, right? To help people. So it's, in some ways, it's just, it's my job, right? I mean, think about it. If you were trained as a surgeon and you took out someone's appendix, you saved their life. And yeah, you go to the doctor, I'm, oh, thank you. You know, thank you, doctor. You saved my life. You took out my appendix. Well, that's what they're trained to do. So on the one hand, I feel like this is great. It's my job. On the other hand, because it's so uncommon and it has been sort of relegated to, you know, it goes against everything I've been taught. It's fun and rewarding. But the pleasure I get is from seeing other people being happy. But, you know, it's not without some need to explain, for example, at the beginning. I mean, so even recently in the clinic, these folks come in all frustrated and they're angry. And I know they're not angry at me. They're spilling over all this frustration and anger because they've only tried to exercise it away. And you can't exercise out, you know, away from a bad diet. And so, you know, there's still kind of an art of explanation of just kind of calmly saying, well, here's what's going on. What have you tried? Have you tried this? And the sometimes the most skeptical people then become the true believers who want to then change the world because it, you know, went against everything they've been taught. But the most fun, I think, is seeing people come back with the, you know, I'm back playing with my grandkids. I'm back playing pickleball or tennis or whatever it is. People who thought they, you know, kind of mirroring what you went through. People who think they've lost everything and now they found it and they have it again. And the I can't like say too much though. If I said, well, that's all going to get better, and people won't believe me. Right. So I have to unfold it as, well, here's how we're going to start it. And then, you know, the joints get better. The GI tract, the GERD, the irritable bowel syndrome, the inflammation. I'm starting to see reversal in these inflammatory conditions that other doctors are using very strong drugs for now that have some, you know, bad side effects like cancers. So but I have to be careful to not compete too much head to head against these things in order to stay in a clinical setting where, you know, I'm one of, you know, 1,000 doctors in this system. So there's that art of dealing with the individual and explaining how things will change. We have extra fat on our body. That's how we store it. We got to get it to burn somehow. Let's just not have carbs for a while and your body will start to burn its own fat. You know, it's really a pretty simple process that's going on. And having people come back, and that's an important thing to realize, that doctors like me or coaches will see you back soon and make sure that you're getting the results. And sure, if it's not working at first, we tailor things a little bit, tweak things here and there. Maybe let someone have vegetables here and there if they thought they couldn't, or the other way. Maybe they don't need them. I guess it's fun, and it's fine. It's, you know, I created my own job basically 15 years ago based on the science that we did, and it's following in the kind of in the pathway that Dr. Atkins and Dr. Eads really, they pioneered it going back 30, 40, 50 years now. But with the credibility and the science behind what we do, it that makes it a lot easier than the system that they were in, where they were perceived as harming people. But the day-to-day results are fun. Other doctors have expressed to me that they are now enjoying clinical practice again, where they got burned out. They got tired of just managing diseases with medications, and their patients weren't getting better. And so I've helped other doctors get the enthusiasm back in their clinical practice, which is great.
That's wonderful. Yeah, there's a ripple effect that happens when you get that second chance at life. It's hard not to shout it from the rooftops, and then you end up inspiring other people, and it's amazing. I'm so thankful for what you're doing, Dr. Westman. I always say there's some really good doctors out there that are healing people, and it has to be grassroots, like you mentioned earlier. So I'm happy to shout out your work and try to elevate your voice any way we can. So I encourage everyone to check out Dr. Westman's website, YouTube channel, the American Diabetes Society, all the great work he's doing. Is there anything else you want to shout out or mention before we wrap up?
Like you're saying, it's a grassroots change. And so you want to just not only do it yourself, but lead by example for other people to be able to follow. And that's not always initially going to happen. You expect some resistance for about 6 to 12 months, and then family and friends typically come around. And it's not your job to teach your doctor or train them. You might just tell them you're doing the modified Mediterranean diet and you'll be accepted.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Westman. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.